Okay, we're starting here on the top of Ayin Zayin and Aleph. We're continuing with Rava's statements that he had made at the end of Ayin Vav and Bet, which was regards to a brought as a proof to the position that we saw from to reconcile between Rav Chiya and the Braisa, which is that there's actually a difference if the Baalim actually enter the field the night before or not. So now Rava continues with the statement three lines down in Ayin Zayin and Aleph of cases. Amar Rava, Haiman de Ogir Agure, for someone who hires workers, the Davla, to draw water to put into his field, Vata Mitra, and then rain came instead. So if the rain came, he doesn't need these workers anymore to put the water into the field. The Pseda de Poalim. Over here, it's a loss of the Poalim, because there was no way for the Balabayit to have any foresight as to the fact that the rain was going to come. Since he didn't have any foresight, it's the bad mazel of the Poalim. But Atanaro, Pseda de Balabayit. On the other hand, if the river overflows and fills the field, so now it does not necessitate having water drawn for the field, in that case it's the loss of the Balabayit. Because the Poalim have no idea what the normal course of the river is or when the river overflows into his field. That's information that the Baalim are in possession of that the Poalim don't have. And therefore, if something like that happens, it's the Pseda, it's the bad mazel of the Balabayit, that the river overflowed and he had hired Poalim at that time. Vihavle Kapol Batel, as we saw earlier, in that instance, obviously they're not working now, so they will give him, he will pay them like a Poel Batel. Vamarova, Haiman de Ogir Agure de Davla, again, he's someone hires Poalim to come and draw water for the field. Upasak Nara Bapagu de Yoma. And then the river stops flowing. The river that they're drawing the water from to bring into the field, it stops flowing in the middle of the day. Ilo Abid de Pasuk, if in general the river doesn't stop, then it's Pseda de Poalim. Then it's a loss of the Poalim, because this is something that nobody could have considered, not the Baal Abayit and not the Poalim. And since neither party could have considered this ahead of time, then we consider it as if it's the bad mazel of the Poalim and they're out their money. Now, Abid de Pasuk, if it's normal for the river to stop flowing during the day, then, Ibnei Mato, if the Poalim are from the city, so that they should be equally aware of the fact that the river could stop flowing as the Balabayit, so in that instance, Pseda de Poalim, in that instance, it's the loss of the Poalim. Lavnei Mato, if they're not from the city, then it's Pseda de Balabayit. Then it's the loss of the Balabayit. Why is it the loss of the Balabayit? Because, number one, the Poalim had no idea that this happens. They're not from the city. Number two is, it's something that normally happens in the city, so the Balabayit should have been aware and considered that before he hired the Poalim. And therefore, we can't say it's the bad mazel of the Poalim. We have to say that the Balabayit was aware of too much information, and therefore it's his loss. Valmarovo continues the statement, Haiman de Agar Ogure Lavita. So that person who hires workers to do the work, then halfway through the day they finish the work. I mean, he hired them for the entire day to do this work, and they're able to finish the work early, and they finish it halfway through the day. Now, if he has other work which is lighter than this work that he gave them originally, or inami the kavata, or something similar in nature to the work that they were doing, then he can give them that work, meaning that he hired them for the day, and he's giving them work that is equal to or lighter than the work that he promised them, so therefore he can use them for the rest of the day to do that work. The kashim, on the other hand, if the work is a heavier duty work or a harder work, then he can't use them, because that's not what they were hired for. When they got paid, they can say to him, listen, you paid us money, you hired us as workers for a certain level of work or a certain difficulty of work. If you're going to increase that difficulty or ask us to do, exert ourselves and do more work, then you're going to have to pay us more. That he pays them the full amount. So, amai. Why does he have to pay them a full amount? That he hired them for the whole day, and they worked half the day. So for the first half of the day, they should get paid the full amount of a poel. But when it comes to the second half of the day, why is he paying them like a regular poel? We've seen in the previous Braitot and from Chia that maybe he shouldn't pay them like a regular poel, but poel batel. Meaning that they clearly aren't doing any work. So there is some benefit to them in the fact that they aren't doing work, and they should get some discount in their payment. Where it says, Gikamarova Bachlushe Dimchuza. When Rav was speaking about this, he's talking about the Achlushe Dimchuza is another girsa of Chofre Adama. That whatever the gear says, Rabbi is from the city of Mechuzah, and there were the individuals in the city of Mechuzah who used to work very hard. They used to carry loads all day, or they used to dig all day, and that they were actually uncomfortable when they weren't working. It actually weakened them. It caused them to lose some of their strength, and so they constantly wanted to be working. So therefore, there's actually a loss to them in the fact that they are idle at this point in time. It actually causes them difficulty or loss, and therefore, being Kapol Batel, to pay them like a Paul Beltel, you can't do, because for them, they would not take this discount. They'd rather be working and getting paid, because for them, not working is actually a negative. And we saw that earlier concept like this. We saw it here with signing Kiddushin with regards to a Eved Kenani, that when a person takes someone else's Eved Kenani who's not otherwise working for him, and then he puts him to work, then maybe there's some benefit there because he keeps him in the mode of working and not becoming Batel. So there is a value to working, and therefore, even these people in Mechuzah, and as well as the Eved Kenani that we discussed before, for them, it's better to be working than to be idle, and therefore, he would not get any discount. Because if they don't work, they get weaker. Okay, now the Gemara continues and goes back to the Braita that we saw previously on the second half of Ayin Vav Amud Bet, where we discussed the Machlokes between the Tanna Kamma, who's the Rabbanan, and Rabbi Dosa, about who, how do we view the payment to the Poalim when they leave halfway through the day. According to the Tanna Kamma, you pay them for the work that they have done until that point in time, and according to Rabbi Dosa, we look at what's left to do, and then we deduct that from their salary. So the Gemara wants to dissect that Braita and go through it piece by piece. Omar Mar, Shaman Lahem, it's Mashasu. We assess how much they've done, so the Tanna Kamma, Ketzer HaYafeh, right, how much it would take to complete it, which is Shisha Dinarim, Notein Lahem Sela, so that he gives them the Sela. So even though it will take him Shisha Dinarim to finish the project, he had intended to pay 2 Sela to these workers for the project, and now it will take him Shisha Dinarim to finish, which is 1.5 Sela to finish, despite the fact he pays the Poalim half a Sela. Kasavi Rabbanah, it's clear from this, the Rabbanah, the Tanna Kamma believe, Yad Poel Al Yonah, that the worker has the upper hand. Even in the case where he reneges and he pulls out of the deal, he still has the upper hand, and therefore he gets paid for the half day that he worked. Now, the other option for them is to Igru Malachtan, they either get their seller or they finish their work, Vitlu Shnei Slaim, and then they get paid the 2 seller. Mar says, Pshita, right? Why would you even have a question here? If they finish the work and they agreed to get paid 2 seller for the work, why should we have a case here where there's any question about him paying the 2 seller? So what's the chiddush of the braisa? So the Mara says, Lo tricha, the yakir avidto, that the price of the labor actually went up. So since the price of labor went up, we would think that the Balabayit has to pay them more. Now why? Because the Imru Paalim, the Paalim actually reneged and pulled out halfway through the day. Vazal Balabayit, and the Balabayit comes back to Faisinhu, and he convinces them, he appeases them, he does something to convince them to continue to work, despite the fact that they really want to leave. The Malutema, what would I have thought? Matsu Armalele, they could say to him, Kimavesinan, when you convince us to come back and work, the Tafatlana Agra that you were going to add to our salary. So Kamash Malon, that we conclude, Darmalu, Adata Tirchana Luchubachil Vestia. Now, when I said that I would make it better for you or it would be worthwhile for you to stay, I didn't mean worthwhile and more compensation. I meant worthwhile in the sense that I'll give you food and drink and I'll make your whole experience more pleasant. So what would have been the Havamina? The Havamina here would have been, since the Paulim had the right to leave in the middle of the day, and they actually decided at some point to leave in the middle of the day. So at this point in time, when they say we're going to leave in the middle of the day, we would think that maybe that terminated the original agreement. Since that terminated the original agreement, now when he convinces them to come back and work for him, we would have thought that that means that he's hiring them or re-engaging them at the new market price, which is a higher price. Gemara says, Kamash Malan, no. Since they are still, they really haven't broken the engagement, and they're still in the context of that engagement, when he rehires them, he's rehiring them, or when he convinces them to come back, he's bringing them back at the original pricing. They say, well, you appeased us, you say it's going to be better for you, it's worthwhile, I'll make it worth your time. When he says, I'm going to make it worth your time, that's not that I'm going to actually pay you more, but I'll make the experience better, and I'll give you a chilas shtil, but not that I'm going to raise your salary. So now the Gemara continues dissecting that Braisa. It says, Sela, Notein Lahem Sela. So in the Braisa it says that if they already have, it's going to cost him to finish the work a Sela, and the whole engagement was 2 Sela, and they're halfway through, then he pays them a Sela. I mean, that seems pretty obvious. The Balabite's not losing. He hires new workers, pays a Sela, and he gives them a Sela, and everything's fine. So what's the Chiddush of the Braisa? The Gemara says, Pshito. This is easy. Lo tzricha. Now we need it. Zala viditam yikara. That originally the cost of hiring labor was cheap. V'agrinu, but this individual agreed with Tafei Zuza. He agreed to hire them for an additional payment, meaning that the workers were really being engaged in the market at 2 sela minus 2 dinar. So since they were being engaged at 2 sela minus 2 dinar, these workers said, we really don't want to work for that. We want to work for at least 2 sela. So he says, no, what problem? I'll add a zuz onto the market rate. So now he says, I'll add a zuz onto the market rate. It will come out that they're getting paid 2 sela. So now what happened? Ulubisof, in the end, yakar avidito. In the end, the price of work went up, and the market moved to come between zuzah. and it actually matched what he was paying them. So the market price now has come up to the point where every worker gets 2 sela. So Madutema, what we'd have thought, Amrilei, they can say to him, Tafi Zuza Amartlan, you said that you're going to add a Zuz to the market rate. So Tafi Zuza Havalan, give us our Zuz, extra Zuz, meaning that you're right. When we originally started, the market rate was a Zuz below a sela. And when you said to us, add a Zuz, it meant a sela. But now that the market rate is a sela, pay us the sela plus a Zuz that you promised us. You promised us a Zuz above market. So Gemara says, Gemash Malon, Darmalahu. But Gemash Malon is that he can say to them, Kiamilchu tfe Zuzah, lovi kimlechu, hashta kimlechu. The reason that I had to add on the additional compensation originally was because you didn't agree to work for a sela minus a Zuz, right, for half a day, or 2 sela minus 2 Zuz for the whole day. So since you weren't willing to agree with that, I added on the Zuz to get you to a rate at which you were comfortable working. But once you got to that rate that you're comfortable working at, if the market rate now comes up to that rate, I don't have to add an addition, like a husafa above market, but rather, then now I can pay you the market rate, and you should be comfortable with that, because that's all you were after in the first place. Now, Rabbi Dosa Ama Omer, so this is the second half of the Braisa where Rabbi Dosa disagrees with the Chamei Omer, Shamim Lehem Et She'atid Le'asot. We look at the future value, the future expenditures that the Baal is going to have to go, and then we deduct that from the salary of the workers in the first half. So, Hayoya Feshishi Darim, it's going to cost 6 dinar to finish it. Noten Lehem Shekel, then he gives them a shekel. Shekel is half a sela, so 1.5 sela is what it's going to take to finish. So even though they've done half the work, he only pays them a shekel because he needs enough compensation or expenditure left for his expenditures to finish the project. Kosavar, it's clear from this that Yad Poel al Tachtonat. Rabbi Dosu believes, like our Mishnah, that when a Poel backs out or reneges on his deal and works out in the middle of the day, then he is Yadu al Tachtonat. He does not have the upper hand, the Baal Bayit has the upper hand. And since the Baal Bayit has the upper hand, he gets to determine how much it will cost to finish it, and then he'll deduct that from the total value of what he's supposed to pay, and they get the residual amount. As opposed to the Chamim, who believe that when a Poel backs out, when a worker backs out, that he still is Yadu al Yonat, he still has the upper hand, and by having the upper hand, he's then allowed to get paid for whatever he did for half his work, whatever the agreement was, despite whatever the cost is to finish the project. So now, the Braisa continues in Rabbi Dosa's statement, Oyig Meru Malachtam Vitlu Shnei Slaim. So it says that if they finish their work, they'll get paid 2 sela. I says, Pshita, of course. If they agreed to get paid 2 sela and they finished the work, what's the question with regards to Rabbi Dosa that they should get paid a sela? Where it says, Lo tzricha dezala vidta. So it's the opposite of the Chachamim. Obviously, the Chachamim who said, Poel al Yona, was a case where the value of the workers or their work goes up. Over here, it's a case where the value diminishes. Ve'imar balabait. So their value went down, of workers went down, and then the Baal Bayit is the one who reneged over here. Since the Baal Bayit is the one who reneged, because now he can go out into the market and get this work done at a cheaper price, and then the Poleim say, no, it's worthwhile, we'll finish it up for you, it's worth your while to just have it, we started the project, right, it's, we'll make it worth your while to finish. So Madutema, what could I say? He can say to them, I thought the reason that when you came back and said, we'll finish the work, that you were going to bring yourself down to a lower market price, and that's why I was going to go with you. Kamash Malan, Darmi Lei, that they can say back to him, that we said, no, that when we came back and you continued to engage us, that we're going to do a better job. Not that we're going to get paid less, but we're going to make sure that you get the best job possible. So in this instance, as opposed to the instance with the Chamim, who say that the Poel's on the Yonah, here with the Yad HaBaal Bayit is on the Yonah, we would have thought, or we would have Havamina to say, that in this instance, the Baal HaBayit, when he reneges halfway, so if he reneges halfway, maybe that disengages them from the original agreement. That disengages them from the original agreement. Now, when the Baal HaBayit agrees to rehire them or to keep them on after they mefayas him, maybe that's now at the new market rates. If that's at the new market rates, then it should be at the lower rate. So, Gemash Malon, the answer is no. We don't give them lower market rate. When he reengages them or when he brings them on. Again, if he doesn't explicitly say so, if he explicitly says, I'll only bring you bong at the lower price, and they agree, then obviously that's the case. But over here, where he brings them back on, and they have no stipulations, they just say, look, we'll make sure it's worth your while. When they say it's worth your while, they're not saying that we're going to discount our salary to match the market now, but rather they're saying is we're going to do the best work, we're going to even a better work than you could have expected, and therefore they'll enhance the work experience for him or the output that they are going to give him, but not that they're going to deduct from his salary. And that's the Kamash Malan over here, that when it's a case, if they finish the work, they get paid their full amount, even though there was some sort of interaction between them in the middle. Now the Gemara asks the same question on Rabbi Dos about his part of the Braisa of Sela Notain Lahem Sela. If the remaining work is going to cost the Sela, then they get a Sela for the work that they have done. The Gemara again says, Pshita, right? That is a simple, we know that. That's of course the case. So Amravuna Breder of Natan Lotricha de Ozilu Inu Gabe Zuza. So again, the opposite case of the Chachamim. In the case of the Chachamim, we said that the Balabayit convinced them to come on board by paying them a little extra zuz. Over here, we're talking about a case where they said generally people in the market got hired at a seller. Since they got hired at a seller, this Balabayit says, I don't want that work. It's too expensive for me. They said, you know what? We'll give you a discount. We'll give you a dinar per seller. We'll give you a discount. So that means for the two sellers' work of a day, we'll discount you 2 dinar. So now, for half a day's work, it'll be Sela minus a dinar. That's what they offered to him. So now what happened? That they originally discounted their pricing to him. And in the end, all workers' pricing dropped down, meaning that the market became what these individuals had hired themselves out at. What have I thought? They said, the Baal Bayit says, listen, you said to me, you're going to discount me a dinar per Sela to the market. So now, Batzir Zuzay Avina Lachol. So he says, listen, now the new market rate is lower. And now if I'm offering you below market rates of Azuz, so I should drop your rate again, Azuz below the market. So Kamash Malon, we say, no, Imri Lay, they can say to him, Kamrina Lachab, Batzir Zuzah, Dulava Kimlach. That's, and originally, when we discounted it Azuz, then we look at it, we discounted it to make it palpable for you, or to make it palatable for you to take us or hire us over here. So then it was palatable and you accepted it, that becomes the rate. We don't say that it's everything is relative. We say that's the absolute terms. We signed on absolute terms. Yes, it was relative to the market when we signed on, but once we signed on, it becomes the absolute objective price. Whereas if what the Gemara's Havamino is that the pricing is always relative, that they're discounting to market. And if they're discounting to market, then when the market changes, he should be able to discount or keep that discount relative to the market. And the Kamash Malan in both these cases is that's not true. In our case, for Rabbi Dos, it's not true for the Paulim when they discounted. And it's also not true by the Rabbanan, where the Balabait added compensation to them that if the market price goes up, then that's not relative. Their additional pay that the Balabait is offering is not relative to the market. It's once it was relative to the market at the time they signed, but once they're done now, it becomes the objective price or the standard price with which they have to work with. And that's the chiddush of the Braisa on each of these instances. Amar Rav. Rav says, Alacha k'Rabbi Dosa. The Alacha is k'Rabbi Dosa, like the our Mishnah here, which is that when the Poel backs out, Yado ala tachtona. Did Rav really say this? That a poel, a worker, is allowed to back out of his work even halfway through the day. We saw that from the Gemara in Kiddushim, which says that avadayhem, that Jews are avadim to Hashem and not avadim l'avadim. They're not subject to any other body else's authority, and therefore a poel can walk away halfway through the day, and there's no issue. And that's what Rav is quoting over here, that a poel yachol l'achzor afilu b'chatzi yom. Gemara says, maybe you want to suggest the Shani Le Rabbi Dosa ben Schirut and Kablanut. Maybe there's a difference between Schirut and Kablanut. We have seen this differentiation in the Gemara and Kiddushim when it discussed it. Tosus over there mentioned that this idea of Avadaihem below Avadim, that's only applicable by a Poel, by a Schir Yom. That is not applicable to a Kablan, because a Kablan is really working for himself. He's taking on and he's an Evid to himself. So therefore, this application of the ability to walk away by Kablanut does not necessarily apply like it does by Poel. So we have seen such a distinction by Poel. So let us say maybe that distinction also applies to Rabbi Dosa's position. Right? What does that mean? V'chita imashani le'Rabbi Dosa ben schirut le'kablanut, that you want to differentiate between schirut and kablanut, that by schirut, when we're talking about a poel over yom, then he can walk away during the middle of the day. Avaba kablanut, when it comes to kablanut, when it comes to contracting, when you're doing a specific halacha, ein ze eved el latzmo. Right, this is not, he's only working for himself. And Rabbi Dosa, when Rabbi Dosa was addressing the case here, Rabbi Dosa was speaking about Kablanut. He's speaking about Kablanut. That's where the Poel is Yado ala Tachtona. So when we say Poel Yado ala Tachtona, that's with regards to Kablanut. That comes to contracting where you're asking for a specific job or output to be done. In that instance, Yado al HaTachtona, and they don't have the right to back out in the middle of the day. Whereas when it comes to a Poel or a Schir Yom, they'll have the right, number one, to back out in the middle of the day. And number two is that Yado al Yonah, that they would agree that they still have the upper hand here and that they get paid like the Tanakama says, but that by Schir Yom. When Rabbi Dosa disagrees with Tanakama, he's only disagreeing by Kablanut, by a contractor. Mar says, Umishanile, is there such a distinction in the position of Rabbi Dosa? Vatanya, don't we have a brisa? Hasocherta poel, right? Someone who hires a worker, Ulachatsiya Yom, Shamash Mate no Mate, O Shach Zoachama, So whether in the middle of the day some onus happens to him, whether either he has to go, he has a relative that passed away and he has to go to the funeral, or he has to sit shiv'ar, he's an onay now, oh shachazato chama, or he became sick or he became ill from being out exposed to the sun. So im schir hu, if he's a sachir, if he's a schir yom, notain lo scharo, then he give him the value or the work that he's done until this point. Im kablan hu, on the other hand, if he's a contractor, notain lo kablanuto, you pay him the amount of the contract, I mean the amount of work that he's completed, you pay him. So in this case, you see no differentiation between schir yom and kablanut, and both of them, in a case of an ones, get their full pay until the point that they had to disengage from the work. Now mani, who do we know? How do we know that this is Rabbi Dosa? Who's the author of this Braisa? Ilei Marabana. And if you say the Rabbana are the author of this Braisa, Mayuria Shama Shemait Loomait Oshachz Dol Chama. Why do you have to have the case be a case of Ones in order to free him and to give him the Adol Yonah? Right, the Ones Kilo Ones Nami. Right, we saw before that even in cases where it's not an Ones, where the Poel walks out halfway, reneges on the deal, walks out halfway on the day, I'm a Rabbana and Yad Poel Al Yonah. That the Yad Poel is on the Yonah even when it's not an Ones. Ella Lav. But it must be Rabbi Dosi. It must be that it's Rabbi Dosa. And if it is Rabbi Dosa who's the author of the Braisa, we see that Rabbi Dosa is not differentiating between a schir yom and a kabbalan. V'shmamina, lo shani le Rabbi Dosa ben schirut the kabbalanut. That there's no differentiation between schirut and kabbalanut, because otherwise, why would he have given the example of a case of ones to be the only time where the poel gets his full pay, or the kabbalan gets his full pay? If there was really a distinction, then in the Braisa it should have simply written just a case of kablan. Because the case of kablan, Rabbi Dosa believes generally if he backs out yado ala tachtona. But over in this case, it's an exception because of ones. But schir yom, even in a case where he backs out halfway through the day, it's not an ones. If Rabbi Dosa really agreed to the chachamim in that case, then why is he bringing that in the why is he bringing it in the brayso or mentioning the brayso in a case of ones? So Gemara says, wait, Amar Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak, v'dover avud, v'divrei akol. No, the case here is it's a dover avud and it's a divrei akol. Now, we remember before in the Braisa, we had the case, the Braisa had numerous qualifications. One of the qualifications is that it's not a dover ha'avud. By a dover ha'avud, even the Chachamim agree, right, that the person is not allowed to walk away. And if he walks away in the middle, when it's a dover avud, then yado ala tachtona. So in this case, what's the dispensation for him to walk away? It's because it's an ones. So even the chachamim, right, would agree in this case that whether it's a poel, whether it's a kablan, the only reason that he's allowed to walk away is because there's an ones involved in this case. And that's what gives him the right to walk away. If it wasn't the ones, then even the chachamim would agree that he can't walk away. Whether it's chir yom, whether it's kablanut, doesn't matter, he can't walk away. So from that, we can't conclude, right, that whether Rabbi Dosa really does not differentiate between kablan and schir yom, or he does differentiate between poel and schir yom. Tnan, our Mishnah says kol mishaneh yado ala tachtona v'chol achozer bo yado ala tachtona. So the Mishnah gives examples or two issues, makes a general statement. So bishlam kol mishaneh yado ala tachtona. That bishlam kol mishaneh yado ala tachtona is a stamlan tanaki Rabbi Yehuda, because we saw this machlokes between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Meir in the Mishnah in Baba Kamel, and now the Mishnah is coming along and being so tame like Rabbi Yehuda, the lach is like Rabbi Yehuda, kol mishaneh yado ala tachtona. Ella kol achozer bo yado ala tachtona. What's the addition of this kol achozer bo yado ala tachtona latuye mai? What does that come to include? Lav la tuye poel. Isn't it coming to include a poel over here? Oku Rabbi Dosa. Meaning that the broader Mishnah talks about a kablan. And then the additional statement at the end of the Mishnah, which is kol achozer bayo yada tachtona, applies even to a poel. And who's the author of Mishnah? Must be Rabbi Dosa. So if you see that, it seems like Rabbi Dosa, right, believes that there is no differentiation between a kablan and a poel. Ella Rabbi Dosa tarti kamar. No, enochanami Rabbi Dosa believes that both schir yom and kablanut yadam ala tachtona. Rav savrla kavatei bechado upaleg alei bechado. Rav argues with him on one issue and agrees with him on the other issue. When it comes to a kablan, Rav agrees with him that yado al hatachtona. But when it comes to a poel or schir yom, Rav disagreed with Rabbi Dosa Psak, and he paskin that he is a schir yom is yado al el yona, and he agrees with the chachamim in that case. So that's one answer, that there is no distinction according to Rabbi Dosa, but there is a distinction according to Rav. And Rav paskim like him in one instance, not in the other instance. Ibai Tema, the other possibility is, kol achozer bo yado ala tachtona, that anybody who goes back on his agreement, he has the lower hand. He no longer has the upper hand. L'Tanya, we need that for a Braisa. So it has nothing to do with Rabbi Dosa or including a Schir Yom here, but rather it's come to include this case of the Braisa. Kol HaChozerbo, Ketzad. What is the case of Kol HaChozerbo? Harei Shemacharsa Delechaveiro Belev Zuz. Someone sells a field to his friend for 1,000 Zuz. V'natan lo ma'ot mehen mataim Zuz. He gave him 200 out of the 1,000. Bizman Shemocher HaChozerbo. If the seller backs out, Yad Lokeach HaLayona. Then the buyer has the upper hand here. Ratza, Omer lo tenli maotai. He can say, give me back the 200, and that's it. Oh, tenli karka, keneged maotai. He can say to him, pay me, I gave you 200 already. You got to give me karka, the amount of land that I purchased with that 200. Meichen magvio. From where does he take it? Mina idit, from the best property of the seller. The Gemara will discuss what it means best. Does it mean best of his property, or the best of the property that he was supposed to purchase? Ubizman, shalokeach, ozur, both the buyer backs out of the transaction, yad mocher lo yona. Then the seller has the upper hand. Ratza omer lo, helach motecha. You can either say, here, take your money back, I don't want to sell. Ratza omer, helach karka. On the other hand, he can say, listen, take the piece of land that you bought, and that's it, keneged motech. Now, when he wants to pay him, he pays him from the worst. Now, again, the question is, when he pays him from the worst, it means the worst of his entire portfolio of property, or is it the worst from the property that he was intending to sell him? We try to teach them to structure the transaction in a manner which will not allow them to back out of the transaction. How is that? Kate said, they write a contract that indicates that they is purchasing the entire field for 1,000 zuz. But not only mehem atayim zuz. And then he paid me a down payment of 200 zuz. For he no shebo chet meot zuz. And the remainder is a loan. So now, kana umachzir lo et ashar. At that point in time, he's koneh the property immediately, and then he owes him the remaining money, could pay him even after a number of years. Because at this point in time, the transaction is done, the purchase is completed that day. There's a separate issue, which is that he didn't have all the cash up front, so he lent them the cash. And by lending them the cash, we have a kinyan on the karka, and the kinyan on the karka makes the transaction complete, nobody can back out. The only question here is, what do we do about this loan, or how do we satisfy this loan? Whereas the cases before, what the Tanakhama and the Bryce was discussing is a case where there is money being paid along the way towards the purchase of the property. There's no full kinyan of the property up front. As he pays the money, he makes a kinyan, he buys the property along the way. So that in that instance, you're going to run into the problems where buyer or seller could back out of the transaction. So now the Gemara goes back, and now it's going to look at this Braisa. But first, before we do that, this Braisa allows us to explain that Rabbi Dosa will be Michalek, just like Rab, between Schir Yom and a Kablan. That Rabbi Dosa's statement's only by a Kablan. We don't have anything else to indicate that it also applies to a Schir Yom. Our Mishnah didn't help. And we saw the Braisas above don't. We're not mukhrach to explain them that way, because now we can use our Mishnah, the additional statement, our Mishnah for this Braisa, and we can explain the Braisa by Dover Avud, even according to the Rabbanan. And therefore, we have no proof that Rabbi Dosa disagrees with this differentiation that Rav makes. And therefore, the halacha would be, according to Rav, that he paskins like Rabbi Dosa in Kablanut, and he paskins like Rabbi Dosa by Schir Yom, because Rabbi Dosa believes the same thing as Rav, which is that by Kablanut, Yadoa Tachtona, that the Poel, or the worker, has the lower hand there because he backed out in a Kablanut, but by Schir Yom, where the Torah empowers the Poel, there he is Yadoa El Yona, it remains El Yona, and even Rabbi Dosa would agree to that, and that's why Rav was paskining like Rabbi Dosa. So now, the Gemara discusses the Braisa that we just quoted. Amar mar mehechen magbiyo, mina idit, takes from the best property. Kazalt gadatka, you would thought midit nechasav, that he takes from the best of the seller's property, not just what he was trying to purchase. Velo yelo kabal chov. Why should this person who now is owed money or owed compensation by the mocher over here, why should he be any better than any other lender or creditor? Any other creditor is only entitled to take from benonit, from the middle line property. V'tnan, balchov dino bebenonit, that he gets to collect from the middle line property. Now, truth be mina Torah, the balchov is only allowed to, the creditor is only allowed to collect from the ziborit, the worst property. But the chamim were metakein, that a balchov gets to collect from benonit, shelo tino delet mifnei levim, so that the door to lending, to keep the market open and fluid, that they decided to make it benonit so people would lend money and not feel that they were at risk of getting ziborit property. Vahod ha'ara deyahiv zuze. Number two is, why should all of his property be exposed to this creditor? I mean, that they contracted over a specific piece of property. And if you gave money against that specific piece of property, why should any of his other property be exposed? It should be given the best of the property that he purchased, because that's what he had his eye on. So Amar Rav Nachman Yitzchak, Idid Sheba Umziborit Sheba. That Rav Nachman Yitzchak qualifies, no, when we talk about Idid and Ziborit, it doesn't mean Idid and Borit of his whole portfolio. It means Idid and Ziborit of the property that they were intending to sell, the property of which the transaction was made. When we talk about that the Mocher has to give him the Idid, I mean the Lokeach can take the Idid when the Mocher backs out, that means the best of the property or that they were discussing. And the same thing the other way around, when the Mocher has the decision, when the Lokeach backs out to give him the worst property, it means the worst of the specific property that they were discussing. That we can even explain this brisa when it's talking about the entire portfolio of his property that he takes from the best. Why? It's an amazing statement of Gemara that to raise 1,000 zuz is very difficult. That is a lot of money, and for to do that, the individual wanted to purchase the property had to liquidate other assets in order to have the money in hand to purchase the property. Now, when he went ahead and liquidated the other assets, he had to take a discount on those assets to liquidate them. So that discount that he took to liquidate them was with the intent of buying this property. So now with the intent of buying this property, he's actually, the mocher when he backs out is a mazik. He's actually causing him damage because had he known that the seller would back out, he would never have sold these properties at a discount. So now he's actually out money because yes, he wanted this land and he was willing to sell at a discount to get this land, but nevertheless, he wouldn't have done it if he'd known the mocher would have backed out of it. So because he's a mazik, and we know the din is by a mazik, that you get the best of the property. And when we mean best of the property, we mean best of his entire portfolio of the mocher, because he was actually mazik, the individual who raised the capital to purchase this property. Now Tosos points out over here that we have to say that he's lav dafka mazik. He's not real does mazik, because if he was a real mazik here, then how much should we assess that the mocher has to give him? The mocher should have to give him when he backs out not only his cash back, but he should have to give him the diminished value that he took by selling these cheaper properties. We don't say that. We just say he returns the money that he got. So that makes it clear that he's not exactly like a mazik. But what we're saying here is that he is paying in full value, like he gets compensated like a mazik, we get paid. So we use the paradigm of nezek because there is some form of quasi nezek over here. So therefore, we use that paradigm. And since we're using that paradigm, he'll get to collect from idit of his entire portfolio, not just from the idit of the property that they had engaged in. Now, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, Mer Melamil Tam Shlo Yachzuru, Ketzav, Kotev Lo, Ani Ploni Ben Ploni. So now the Gemara is going to discuss Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. Taima Dichtivle. Sounds like the only reason that it works over here is because he wrote it down. Right? Hachi ha lo kotev le hachi. Had he not written this, lo koni, he would not be able to acquire it. Vatanya, don't we have a brisa? A note, any rav only chaveiro, a person who gives a guarantee, but here it's some sort of collateral to ensure that the transaction will go through. The chaveiro ramlo. Im ani chozer bi, if I walk away from this agreement or this transaction, eravoni machulecha, then my eravon is forgiven. You get to keep this security deposit. V'halo omer im ani chozer bi, the person who is holding now this security deposit, he says, if I back out of the transaction, apolecha eravoncha, I will double your security. I mean, I'll give you your security back plus that another full value of that. So nitkaimu atanayim. Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yossi says they're on the hook for that. Since they're both on the hook for that, so Rabbi Yossi l'tamei damar asmachta kanyo. Rabbi Yossi is according to his own position. He believes that asmachta kanyo, and this is a case of asmachta. Since both parties are really exaggerating here, both parties don't think, they think it's within their control to make the transaction go through. Number two is that they're exaggerating by saying, I'll double you your Erevon, I'll give you my Erevon. They're exaggerating because they don't think they're ever going to come to that. That's called an Asmachta. And Asmachta, in general, is low Kanya, but Rabbi Yosef's the opinion that Asmachta is Kanya. And therefore, Rabbi Yosef, the Tameh, that in this case, it works. Now, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, that Yoshikne Keneged Erevono. Yehuda says, no, that he'll acquire, the Erevon will allow him to acquire Neged, meaning whatever transaction that they had agreed to, then he will consider whatever the Erevon was put up for, that will be considered as if that part of the transaction is done, and he'll have to supply or give him whatever they had agreed to up to the value of the Erevon. So I'm Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, but Medvarim Bizman Sharmalo Erevoni Yikon. Rabbi Shimon says that's only when he says Erevoni Yikon. Now Rashi explains Yikon as Yikne Akol. That means when I says my Erevon will acquire the whole thing. But aval macharlo sadeh b'elav zuz, if he sells him a field for 1,000 zuz, but not telling him chamesh mil zuz, and he paid half of it as a down payment, kana'u makzir lo et ashar, then he's koneh right away, and the remainder will be a loan, afilu achar kama shanim. So now here, there was no requirement to write this down. This was a automatic assumption that was the case. So what Rashi is saying, it depends on how the deposit, this Erev On, was given. If the Erev On was given to acquire the whole property, and it was given as a deposit against the whole property, you can't acquire the whole property. And since you can't acquire the whole property, that Erev On simply remains that. It's a guarantee, but has nothing to do with the purchase or a kinyan over the property. On the other hand, if he buys the property and the deposit is made as a down payment on the property, not as a collateralized or a safety deposit to ensure that the transaction goes through, then whatever he purchased will be a down payment towards the entire transaction, and the remaining will be a loan. If you remember when we learned this the first time earlier on Memchet Amud Bet, Tosos disagrees with Rashi's explanation of what it means, Ikon. That Ikon means that when he's using it as a safety deposit, not as a down payment for the property. So the Tosos learns that Ikon means a safety deposit or some sort of guarantee, whereas if he says specifically that it's a down payment towards the property, then that will be enough of a kinyan to complete the transaction. The remainder will be a loan. But in the end, we have now a stira, because Rav Shimon Gamliel requires you to write this down, whereas we have a brisa here says that you do not have to write it down in Rav Shimon Gamliel's words. So now Gemara says, lo kasho, that depends on how the creditor acts. If the creditor in this case acts like he wants his money now, the guy gave him a down payment, now he's looking for his money all the time, creditor keeps coming by and saying, I need the cash, sold it to you because I need the cash, give me the cash, and he keeps bugging him to get the cash, then we say the underlying assumption in this sale was that I need all the money. If you don't pay me all the money, then you can renege on the deal. He can back out of the deal with no problem, because there's an umdana. We can see from his behavior that the only reason he sold the property was to get all of his cash. And if he's not getting his cash, then it's as if the part of the contractual obligations are not fulfilled. Therefore, he can back out. Unless they wrote it and they contracted that way, it would not be the case. The other case where the creditor is not always chasing the debtor. Because there it's clear he didn't sell the property because he needed the cash immediately. He wanted to liquidate the property. So therefore, later on, when the person or the individual comes and brings in the money later, that'll be classified as being the payment for the loan or the remaining amount that's in the loan. And we don't say that he can walk away because the kinyan was done immediately, because we see from the fact that he's not chasing after money that it's not, that's not his real intent over here. Davar Rava, Hai Manda Zavin Mide Lechabre. Rava says, someone who sells something to his friend, Bekayo Benofik Azuze. Then a person goes out and then he's bugging him for the money, sells something to the friend, and now he's bugging him for the money, Lo Kani. If he's not chasing him down to get the cash right away, then he is koneh. So again, this is a similar instance or a similar case over here, that in an instance where a person's giving money, he didn't pay the whole amount, and he's leaving the remainder as a loan. It depends on the circumstance. In the circumstance where the creditor needs the cash now, in the end the debtor doesn't get him the cash right now, so then we say there's no kinyan. Unless it's written specifically, there's no kinyan immediately, because that's not the intent of the sale. It's clear from the behavior of the creditor that he only intended to sell it to get his cash. On the other hand, if he's not chasing the debtor all the time, then we said the transaction, the first payment was a down payment, the rest remains a loan, and you don't have to write it, because that's the underlying assumption in the sale, because he doesn't need the cash right away. Someone who lends 100 zuz to his friend, and he pays him back one at a time, one zuz at a time. Piron habi, that is a repayment. He's allowed to do that. You can complain to him about it, meaning that, you know, you should have paid me back in one shot. You should have gotten the whole thing together rather than give me back drip by drip. That I'm going to lose them. When you have small coins, I got to lose these little coins. I won't remember. I won't keep it together. If you give me one big payment, I keep it all together. I can store it. I can keep control over it. When you give me small change, it ends up getting lost or misplaced. But despite the fact, it's considered a proper repayment, and he only has to remember it. How garba does avin lay chamro de chavre? Someone who sells, generally when we say chamro, here means wine. Rashi over here says it means chamor. Sell the chamor to his friend. Upash lay chad zuza. And he didn't make the full payment. He had one zuz left, one dinar left in the payment. V'kayo v'nofik azuza. And the creditor's chasing him down for this last zuz. So Yotav Ravashi become Ayin, but Ravashi thought about this instance. Ki hai gavna mai. In this case, what's the din? Kani, is he koneh? Because one zuz, nobody holds up a whole transaction for one zuz. Olo kani, or maybe he's not koneh, because we said above, if the creditor is chasing his money, then he clearly sold it for all the cash, and he's after this last zuz. And so it doesn't matter, one zuz or 100 zuz, whatever is left over, if he's chasing, the creditor is chasing down the debtor for the remainder of that money, that means, or it's indicative of the fact that he was not koneh unless he gets the full payment. So Amalei Rav Mordechai the Ravashi, Yochi Amar Avime Mehagronia, Mishmei the Rava, that, in the name of Rava, Zuzak is Zuzay Dami Velokani. Doesn't matter how much, how little or how much is left over in the payment, if the creditor is chasing the debtor down, that's indicative that he wanted the full payment, and if he didn't get the full entire payment right away, then he intends to renege on a deal, or it's an umdana, that the only reason he sold it was to get his cash. And if he doesn't get that cash, then he won't be able to be koneh. So Amalei Rav Acha Breid Rav Yosef Rashi, Vaham Rina Mishmei de Rava Koni. Don't we have a statement from Rava that he is koneh in this case? So Amalei Targam Shmateich Vemuchas Adeo Mipnei Ra'ata. No, the case by Rava is when he's selling his field because it's bad, and he doesn't care. It's because one zuz, many zuz, when he's selling at this, we're anansade, that whatever money that he gets out of this field, he's going to be happy. And as soon as he gets it out and he's sold, he feels good about it. So it doesn't matter the fact that he's chasing this guy down to get his money is just because he doesn't want the guy to walk away from the deal. He wants to make sure that the deal is complete. So the fact that he's chasing after the money to make sure the creditor is chasing the debtor is not because he wants his money, he needs it immediately, but it's because he wants to ensure that the transaction stays and is finalized because he wants to get rid of this field. He finally got it to liquidate it, and now he says, if I can liquidate it, I want to keep it that way. On the other hand, in a case like this, where it's clear that the creditor is after him because of the money, and when he's after him because he needs the cash, then that's an umdanar, that's a anansade, that the reason that he did the transaction was for the cash, and if you don't come up with the cash, then the kinyan is not effective. So the Gemara continues, pshita. He has a piece of property and he needs to raise 100 in cash, and he didn't find anybody to buy the piece of property that was worth 100. So zavin b'matayim. Then he goes out and sells a field worth 200 because that was easier to liquidate. Right now he's going back and forth and trying to get his money out. Lokoni. In that case, he's not koneh. The transaction falls around. Why? Because he really only needed 100 zuz. So he would have sold the field for 100 zuz, but he couldn't get anybody to buy it. So he finds someone finally to buy a field for 200 zuz. But when he sells it for 200 zuz, well, he only needs 100 of the cash. The other 100, what does he intend to do with that? He intends to take that 100 and purchase property to replace the property that he had to sell. Now, if this individual, this debtor who purchased the property, only gave him half the price, doesn't show up with the cash now, he's actually disadvantaged because he says, I really wanted to replace that property right away. And now you didn't bring me that money. And that was my intent. When I sold it, I needed all the cash. The fact that you're not showing up with the cash is an indication, or is not fulfilling what I had in mind when we put the deal together, and therefore it's a zila kalokani, that there's no kinyan over here. Ella, the question is, that he should have sold, he needs 100 and he could have raised 100, but he didn't find anybody by the field. Had he worked a little harder, had he tried harder, he could have found someone. He couldn't be bothered, and he sold something worth 200. So it's easier for him to sell 200 than sell 100 because you have to work at it. So, but he's still chasing the guy down for his money out of here. My, what do we say to this? Do we just say it's the equivalent of someone who sells his field because he just wants to liquidate it and he's just happy to get rid of it? So the same thing over here. He couldn't be bothered to make the effort to sell the smaller field, so he just sold the higher field. So the fact that he got his cash, he's happy to get his cash, and we say, Kani, even though he's chasing the guy down. Oh, low. Or maybe not. Meaning that, true, he can make the decision to do the easier route, but that's not indicative of the fact that he doesn't want his cash right away and use it. Mar leaves that as a teku. Now, the end of our Mishnah, it says, Sachar tachamar v'takadar, a person who hires a donkey driver or a wagon driver, Sochar lehen, then if they back out, he can hire workers to replace them, or he can trick them into finishing up the work. Ad kama sochar lehen, until how much can he hire them, meaning that until what can he spend their money? Amar avisa gadei scharan, up to the value of the work they already done for him. He owes them money, he can withhold that payment to pay towards completing the malacha that has to be done. Eifei rovel Rav Nachman, didn't we see in the Braisa, they can go up to 40 or 50 zuz, meaning that much more in excess of what the polim owe him, or what he owes to the polim for the work that they did. That is in a case where he has collateral or safety deposit from the workers. Rashi describes it as being a case here where generally workers or kablanim, when they take work from a baal habayit, they leave with him some other finished work that they have as collateral that they'll bring back the finished product. So now he's holding in his hands this collateral and to ensure the work that's done. So he can go and liquidate this collateral, use this collateral towards finishing up the work. Not just their foregone salary or what he owes them for the salary, but he can even use this collateral towards payment of the workers to finish up. Tosa says, Vim Telmar, Im Kem Pshita. What's the question here? That's exactly what the collateral is there for, to ensure that the malacha is completed. So he says, Yesh Lomar, the Havamina of the Gemara is that it's a smachtahi, velokani. The reason that the worker leaves you this collateral is because not that he believes that you're actually going to keep this collateral, he thinks he's going to deliver. And when he doesn't deliver, then it's really an asmachta that you have this item in your hands. or inami, the other possibility is the poel don't obtain lo el iskor b'shavya v'lo minakol, that the poel, when he gives him this collateral, it's only to hire, or the intention of giving the collateral is only to hire someone to replace him at the value of the work that he's done, but not in excess of value. Kamash Malan, the Gemara tells us, Kamash Malan is that that's the chiddush over here, that even though it might look like an esmachta, we don't classify it as esmachta, because that's the way that a kablan acts, and he knows if he doesn't show up, he's going to give it up, and he's gomer v'koni. And also over here, if the when the poel gives the collateral, he's exposed for the entire amount of that safety deposit, that collateral, to finish the work. Okay, we'll stop over here.